Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm one of your co-hosts with
Tom Majeure.
And
Jay Gallimore.
And so there's getting to be three of us.
That's right. This is becoming a regular habit.
It is, but it's great. And we have Evelyn Kissinger, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist, who is the nutrition director for Lifestyle Matters. Welcome, Evelyn.
Thank you.
And so you want to just give us a brief review of what Lifestyle Matters is?
Lifestyle Matters provides free materials online at www.lifestylematters.com. It provides cutting-edge information based on science. It includes physical, mental, spiritual, and social health. It helps you to know what to do, how to do it, and how to get motivated to live a healthful lifestyle.
Amen.
What a better way to start the year than with Evelyn Kissinger and Lifestyle Matters.
In fact, that website's a winner. You need to go there. You're going to find all kinds of great help there.
It's www.lifestylematters.com. So, Tom, why don't you just talk about, we're starting a new year, and what we're talking about, New Start, which is first one's nutrition. Why don't you tell us a little bit about
that? Well, New Start is an acronym that was created, and it helps us remember healthy lifestyle. It starts out, the N of a new is nutrition, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. The second one is exercise, and we've got a physical therapist and pastor that will be helping us with that particular one. Water is a W of new. Sunlight is of the start, the S of start. Temperance is the T. Air is for fresh air and breathing, and R is for rest, and T is for trust in God. And then we're going to be adding some other things to even make it that much better as doctors that make house calls. And so we're going to be adding some other things about relationships. So it's going to be a fun, great subject. But before we start, we better have our word of prayer.
That's right. So Jay, would you offer?
Sure. Father in heaven, bless us as we have this discussion together and the listeners that are listening, that this will be life-changing and morale-building, and that people will go away from this program happy that they were able to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, last time, we started the year, New Beginnings, and we had a whole hour with Pastor Jay. And Pastor Jay, will you review what we discussed last time, how these newer year's resolutions can be permanent?
Oh, they can be. It's how you use your willpower. And that's why I love having Evelyn on here, because she's going to talk about that too. She's into this. But you know, we can give you all kinds of great information, but if you don't use your willpower, you just stay stuck in the rut. And there's a way to change your willpower. Well, we use our willpower all the time. We go to work when we don't want to go to work sometimes. Mm-hmm. We clean the garage when we rather do something else. There's all kinds of things we use our willpower for. But we need to put our willpower on the side of Jesus and then ask him to empower that willpower.
Access that power.
That's right. So as we talk about these changes today that you can make in your life, and a lot of people want to make these changes, people don't want to stay in the same old rut. Who wants to be in a rut that's not healthy?
Right.
So as Evelyn talks about these things, we want to remind people that the Bible is very interested. Christianity is very practical. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and he's the one that gave us this whole concept so clearly about faith and being saved by faith and the righteousness of Jesus that's a gift to us and the grace of God, all those great things. But in the midst of all of this, he says, whatever you eat or whatever you drink, do it to the glory of God. So Christians have a great focus on being healthy, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
And we're going to take that from a biblical standpoint. Is there a spiritual side to nutrition? I'm going to hand that over to Evelyn.
Absolutely. No, our worldview tells us a lot of, leads us into the decisions that we make every day. And when we realize that our bodies are really the temple of the Holy Spirit, I mean, that is a motivation and a worldview that can change everything, change the way that we make decisions throughout the day. When I want to have that vibrant life, not only for the energy and the excitement of life, but also to be able to serve others, to have that energy and decision that we can get out and do something for somebody else.
So we're talking about nutrition. What does the Bible have to say about nutrition?
Well, you know, I just love the beginning of the Bible and how it talks about creation and God made this beautiful heaven on earth, basically, the Garden of Eden. And, you know, the first time give is used in the Bible is when God gave food. He gave the gift of food in Genesis 1:29. And he said, I have all this good stuff for you. I've got all this food that is delicious and attractive, and I just want you to enjoy it. And then we go to Genesis 2:16, and he gives us two commands. And a lot of people haven't noticed that these are actually the first two commandments that God gave. It says, you are free to eat. You're free to eat. You're free to enjoy. I want you to enjoy this beautiful gift that I've given to you. And then you go just a little bit further, and it's about making a choice. But there's some things I don't want. There is a place that I don't want you to choose from. So it's about enjoyment, but it's also about choosing, of making choices. But God says, I want you to choose life. I want to give you the abundant life. I want your life to be full of joy, pleasure, and freedom, and not addiction or things that will bring us down. So the beginning of the Bible has this beautiful story of how God gives life and continues to give life. And he's all about restoration of no matter where we are, God can help us to make those steps to enjoy the abundant life.
Oh, you are so correct about that. The Bible, you know, we have a God who's just really interested in us. He takes a personal interest in every human being. There may be 7 billion people, and people say, oh, I'm just a tiny speck. Well, that may be true in one sense, but not for the great God of heaven who created us and made us his children. And Evelyn, you are so right. You know, he's got a prescription that's tasty, healthy, and everything else. But, you know, there's an enemy around here that wants to destroy us. And so he's always tempting us to eat stuff that's not good for us and to not get the exercise and all that other stuff.
But it tastes good. That's what that's how he tempts us.
Well, part of the problem is that our taste buds have been perverted. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You know, I used to think that wasn't maybe so true, but I have learned that, you know, when Jesus helps me change, all of a sudden that stuff I used to eat doesn't taste so good anymore.
It's absolutely true. Our taste buds have been hijacked. And there's a biological explanation for that, that science is just now beginning to unravel. It makes all the difference. What we're learning about is the microbiome, these bacteria that live in our body, and that affects our appetite, our taste buds, the things that we want to eat or don't want to eat. So it's not just about seeing it, although that is the temptation as well. But we're up against a biological component, and that has a lot to do with willpower. So I'd like to get into that in a few minutes as well.
Well, this making choices is so important. In fact, I mean, we're not getting into DNA too much, or maybe you're going to, Evelyn. But we know now that there's a lot more to our DNA than what we used to think. There's another part of our DNA, and I've got a word for that, and I can't get it back right off. But your choices, and even your grandmother's and your grandfather's choices, and your mother and dad's choices, they're affecting genes that are turned on or turned off. And our choices also can turn genes on and off, not only for ourselves, but for the next generation. So this choice stuff is really important.
Well, that's...
Yes, it is. This epigenetics is what you're referring to.
Yes, yes.
And what we know is that even our grandparents' choices affect us. And so I tell my students at the university, you know, before you decide to have children, you know, make sure that you are getting as much healthy choices in your life as possible, especially when it comes to nutrition, mm-hmm. because that's what turns genes on and turns genes off, our lifestyle choices, and nutrition is a very strong factor in turning those genes on and off, which also affects willpower.
You know, I have a friend, when she had her first child, she was very strict with her diet while she was pregnant. And this son could care less about sweets. He eats very healthy. Mm-hmm. 4 years later, she's pregnant with a second son. Mm-hmm. She didn't be as cautious as she was the first time. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, she likes sweets like most women.
Like most men.
And that son would rather eat sweets than vegetables. Wow. Where the first son, he'd rather eat vegetables than sweets. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we've brought this up because it's very important, especially for our, you know, younger people that are listening, that are in childbearing mm-hmm. age, to think about, you know, the mothers. You need to think about this while you're pregnant. Yes. What you just said, Evelyn, it can affect the genes.
You know, yes. I want to add to that. Evelyn, come back and get you to comment on that. But, you know, a lot of people think, well, it's my genes. I'm just stuck. I'm just the way I am. I can't change anything. And that's just not true. We're not predestined to stay in these ruts.
That's true. We can change. And there's been some very amazing studies done with that. And one of the most amazing is that in a 3-month period, you can change over 500 different genes. So you may start out either with an advantage or disadvantage. And by lifestyle choices, you can go in either direction. So we are not stuck. And our fate is not really in our genes. They are certainly important. But lifestyle choices can change the expression of the genes, and that can make a difference in our health, our life, our happiness, our brain, our attitudes. So it's all pervasive.
You know, Evelyn, I like that Psalm 103, 1-5. It talks about if we made a mistake, forgiveness for our sins, there's healing of our diseases, there's a redeeming of our life, and ultimately when our genes are turned on or turned off, that there's satisfying desire will be created for good things, and that's in scriptures.
Yes, and there are so many examples of people who have had very poor health and have made significant changes. Even simple changes can begin to have some really great outcomes. But when people decide and follow through and choose healthful living, it can actually make people younger. I mean, you can see it in their countenance, their skin, and of course, you're going to see it in lab values, the cholesterol, the blood sugar, the triglyceride, the blood pressure. All of these things can change. And it can change in quite a short period of time. I've been doing wellness programs for most of my career, and we can see within a few days, but especially in 4 weeks. 4 weeks, you can see significant changes in all of these parameters by embracing a healthful lifestyle.
You know, it makes me think of, I can't remember his name. He was a nutrition exercise guru probably 20, 30 years ago. And I remember seeing him on a talk show once, and he made the comment about, because he was an exercise, I mean, he was in pretty good shape. He made the comment for 4 weeks, he stopped drinking anything mm-hmm. but water. No, mm-hmm. no soda pops, mm-hmm. no juice, no alcohol. I mean, he did nothing but drink water when he needed. He said he lost 12 pounds.
Yeah,
just
like
making that one little change in 4 weeks, what you just said mm-hmm. in 4 weeks.
You know, I want to come back to Tom's point just a little bit ago. We were talking about Psalm 103, 1-5. That psalm actually starts out with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And the reason I wanted to reemphasize that is because the Bible itself in that psalm believes that you can change. But it starts with the power of God and joyful rejoicing and thanksgiving and gratefulness for God's goodness and power. So we want to say to our listeners, we talk about changes that you can make. You bless the Lord and he'll come to your help and empower your willpower.
And if you've never been able to be successful, and we talked about in the previous session, that God can give you that power that you've never had before.
That's right. In fact, we need his power. We're weak. We're a long way from the creation. Our willpower, as one person put it, our willpower has been weakened. Our intellect has been darkened. Our emotions have been damaged. And we need the God of heaven, this wonderful Savior that we have, to enter our lives and empower these decisions.
Well, you know, he has high hopes for us. He wants us to choose life in Deuteronomy 30:19, and he came that we might have life more abundant, more mm-hmm. vibrant, mm-hmm. and free, and that's in John 10:10. Mm-hmm. So God really cares about us, and not only our spiritual nature, our physical nature, and our mental nature also.
Well, that's why I'm glad we're having this program, Jelaine and Evelyn, because Satan is out there, and he's convinced so many people that the abundant life isn't in Jesus, is not in Christianity, and they're going down the road, then finally at the end of it, it's pretty sad stuff. So the real happiness is what we're talking about.
Yes, and making this a part of one's prayer life, there's a lot of Christians that really don't think about praying about their lifestyle choices.
Mm.
And maybe before we even get up in the morning, or at least when we're having that prayer time in the morning, to say, God, I need your power today. I need your power all through this day. Please help me with my eating choices and getting out and exercising and taking that prayer throughout the day.
You know, Evelyn, can I pick you back on that a second? I think that's so important. It's throughout the day. In other words, if you're saying, I want to remember to get some exercise today, you start off in the morning and you anticipate that there's going to be resistance to your exercise program. So you say, Dear Lord, I know there's going to be resistance, but yes, you and I make up our mind you're going to empower that decision and I'm going to get out and get this exercise. Or, Lord, I know I'm going to be faced with eating stuff today, really I ought not to eat so much of, and right now I'm anticipating. And when you get there, you say, now, Lord, we've already made a decision together. So you're talking to the Lord about this, and you'll be surprised how powerful this is in empowering your decisions.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, isn't that one thing, I mean, when we're talking about, especially, you know, we always think about the beginning of the year, New Year's resolution, losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what you just said. You anticipate ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like during the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, you already know you're going to go to a party and there's going to mm-hmm. be all kinds of, you make decisions before you get there, what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're asking God to help you, but you're also making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what part of our will, we need to act.
It's Christianity, New Testament, biblical Christianity, in that little text that says, I can do all things, in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you can make any change in your diet, weight, whatever, by the grace of God, if Christ is strengthening you.
When we think about the choices we want to make, the same areas of the brain light up as when we do it. So thinking and praying actually is reinforcing that when you get there, you've planned ahead, you've prayed ahead, and when you get to the situation, you're more likely to carry through.
Fascinating.
You know, and one of the verses we didn't mention was Psalms 139, where it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm.
And we need to think about that more often, because it's not just what we do, but how God, like you had said earlier, Tom, God created us, and he wants us to be healthy, you know, physically and mentally and spiritually. Well, listen, folks, we've got to take a quick break, but stay tuned because we are not done talking about nutrition. Do you want an easy way to support Strong Tar Radio and it won't cost you anything? If you shop Amazon, you can set up your account to have them donate to us. Just go to smile.amazon.com and pick Strong Tar Radio as your charitable organization, and they will donate 0.5% of the eligible purchase to us. That's smile.amazon.com. And you can do more to support Strong Tower Radio by going to strongtowerradio.org and hit the donate button and become a monthly covenant partner. Remember, every little bit helps. We should do all in our power to spread the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm your co-host with
Tom Mazur
and Jay Gallimore.
And we've been talking about nutrition because it's the new year and everybody thinks of New Year's resolutions and mm-hmm. it's usually weight. And our guest is Evelyn Kissinger, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist. And she is the nutrition director for Lifestyle Matters. And Evelyn, our last segment, we were talking about Psalms 139, that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
That is so true. You know, our bodies were created for recovery, restoration, and renewal on a continual basis. And science is giving us more of a glimpse of what that can mean. When we look at the science behind the microbiome, it is quite amazing how this microbiome influences our body.
Now, so, Evelyn, what is a microbiome?
What is a microbiome? That is the trillions of cells that are in our body, bacteria mm-hmm. cells, some mm-hmm. fungi cells, but mostly mm-hmm. bacteria cells, and it's mostly in our gut.
So we're not talking about actual cells that make our body. We're talking about something that is separate that actually lives inside of us, right?
It lives inside of us. We are kind of a walking host for mm-hmm. for these bacteria cells. Some experts say we have 10 times more bacteria cells in our body than we have body cells.
And most of these are good guys, all right?
Yeah, when you say bacteria, I think of bad things.
Yeah,
yeah. That sometimes when you hear the word bacteria, it sounds like it's bad. But it really depends on the type of food that we're eating and our surroundings, our environment. There are many lifestyle choices that affect the type of bacteria or the microbiome in the body. So we have a little bit of influence on what microbiome lives in our gut. So some of them can be very good guys, but depending on our choices, sometimes we have some that aren't so good.
So I'm hearing you just said by our choices. So some of the foods we eat have like
yes.
bad bacteria, and some of the foods we
yes.
have good bacteria?
Well, the types of foods that we eat can influence the growth of the bacteria, especially in our gut. So we have over a trillion different cells, but there's about 200 different species. But you break that down into maybe two families that are predominant. And when we eat a lot of whole plant-based foods, whole foods like fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans, then you feed a certain group of bacteria and they grow and they produce. And then another set of bacteria that are influenced by eating foods like saturated fats, sugars, meats, eggs, dairy, they produce other bacteria in the gut. And the bacteria that is in the gut is going to influence many things in our body, like our immunity. About 70% of our immunity is influenced by our microbiome. Appetite control is influenced by the type of bacteria that's in the gut.
So in other words, we want to feed the good guys here. And you
we
do that
do.
By eating good food. That's the bottom line, right?
That's right.
But this is fascinating. Now, they actually influence the immune. So the good bacteria, we eat good stuff, good bacteria grows, and it actually influences our immune system. How does that work?
Yes. Oh, 70% of our immunity in the body is said to be influenced by the microbiome. Mm-hmm. When food is first introduced into the mouth, the body gets this reaction of enhancing the immune system. And that would be, you know, if something was going into the body that needed to be taken care of, the immunity factors are stimulated right away. And so all throughout the gut, you have different bacteria that have different jobs, different things that are going on. But when we eat the healthy foods, it creates what's called short chain fatty acids, which sounds like a bad thing, fatty acids, but it's actually a good thing. And it provides food, the high fiber whole foods break down and provide food for the bacteria so the good stuff grows.
Yeah. So let me just ask a question here real quick. So when I bite into an apple, instantly in my mouth, I'm beginning to feed the good guys. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it starts to stimulate immunity. No, it when we're going to start the digestion is what produces the positive microbiome.
Okay.
As we're eating foods, different types of fiber in foods will influence different areas of the digestive system. So when we eat whole foods, high fiber foods, this first is going to fill up the stomach, and it's going to help us to feel fuller longer. Mm-hmm. So you get a satiation from eating whole foods. So if you compare eating an apple to drinking juice or eating candy, you're going to have a lot more satiety. It's going to stay with you longer and fill you up more if you eat an apple. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the small intestine and the colon, and as the food is being digested, the bacteria will feed on these fibers, and it helps them to grow, and that influences the growth of these bacteria. One of the main things it does is it influences brain health. So there is a connection between our gut and our brain, the gut-brain connection. We have a vagus nerve that sends messages like lightning from our gut to our brain, and also from our brain to our gut. Mm-hmm. And these microbiome are even influence nerve transmission as well. So,
do we know how that influence works from these microbes that are good guys and the bad guys, say in our stomach or intestines? How do they actually influence the brain?
I'm not sure that we understand totally how the exact reactions that influence all of these things, but what we see is a correlation.
Okay.
That when we have high levels of the good bacteria, this is the result that is experienced. And so when we have more of the good bacteria, we see that it heightens the immune system, it controls the appetite. Mm-hmm. And when we're eating more of the good guys, it sends signals to the brain that actually affect whether I want to eat more of that or not. Mm. So if you're eating a lot of sugar and you produce a lot of the sugar bacterias, mm-hmm. the brain is going to say, give me more sugar, mm-hmm. so that more of these bacteria can actually grow. Mm-hmm. And that even affects the taste buds. And if you've ever experienced like reducing sugar for a period of time, and all of a sudden you eat ice cream and you go, whoa, this is sweeter than I remember. Things have changed. Your taste buds have changed, and maybe it isn't even as pleasurable as maybe you remember it from before. So the microbiome influences the appetite center of the brain, and it also influences the taste receptors. So that the first few days, maybe, or weeks even, of going on a healthier, more plant-based diet and reducing sugars and fats, it may not be as pleasurable for the first few weeks. And some of the experts in this field say, like Dr. Dean Ornish, he would say, you know, you might be miserable for a couple of weeks, but then you see this change in your appetite and in the desire for different foods, and your taste buds change, and you actually begin to enjoy good things, and you actually begin to crave the good food. And so that's where we want to get, is craving the good food.
Mm-hmm. So I have bad microbiome, I'm sure, because I don't eat real healthy. I'm being honest here. So my question, though, listening to you talk, I don't know how many times my brain is telling me I want to eat something, but I'm not hungry. And of course, I want something sweet, you know, something, you know, fast. And that's because I'm not eating healthy. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, I think we have to kind of back up just a little bit. And there are other things that affect appetite. And a big one is sleep. So when people are starting a weight control program or wanting to change their eating habits, one of the first places that I want to start is getting enough sleep. And you're going to cover this in one of your sessions, the rest piece. But when we sleep, regulates hormones, and it's going to regulate the appetite hormones, the leptin and ghrelin, that tell us when we're hungry and when we're full. So getting enough sleep is a big deal. And then when we wake up, we drink water because our body needs that water. And then we start out with a breakfast that's high in whole plant foods, that's high in dietary fiber. And that sets us up for a day of success.
Okay, let me just.
And if you miss some of those pieces, it's going to be more challenging.
Okay, that's fantastic. Let me just pause there for just a moment here. So if we want to start making some New Year's resolutions for health, the best place to start would be to say, you know what, I'm going to get a good night's rest. That's going to be my goal.
So you don't stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve?
I rarely do, anyway. But what you need to do is to make sure you're getting that 7 or 8 hours worth of sleep every night.
Yes, and that is a huge factor in appetite control and insulin sensitivity. We know that diabetics who don't get enough sleep wake up with higher blood sugar levels or have higher blood sugar levels. So there's a hormonal influence going on there as well. So getting enough sleep is a big deal, because when we don't get enough sleep, a tired brain doesn't discern as much, it doesn't care as much, it doesn't resist as much. So when we're tired, we're more likely to make a choice that maybe we're not as happy with later.
So maybe praying before you go to sleep, or reading your Bible before you go to sleep, maybe getting rid of the iPhone or computer or whatever. Also making sure that you're not looking at the wrong kind of light. These computers and phones now, you can have them turned down to the night light that is better for you. So that's you want to get a good night's rest. That's the bottom line here.
That's right. You know, even in creation, it said the evening and the morning was the first day.
Mm-hmm.
So really starting a good day starts in the evening.
That's a good point.
Of getting enough rest. And then waking up in the morning and I say give your body a bath on the inside by getting enough water. But that very crucial. And what we're learning now is timing of meals is crucial. I just read a study about the amount of calories we burn throughout the day, that the breakfast calories, you actually burn or use up 50% more of the calories if you eat them for breakfast as compared to if you ate that same meal after 8 o'clock at night.
Mm.
So there's some metabolic factors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So having that breakfast, and one of the things that a breakfast will do is it fills up your energy stores, your glycogen stores, and makes them available later in the day. So having a good breakfast, the calories are better used.
Mm-hmm.
And then at lunchtime, it's a 25% less caloric that stays with you. And then at night, your 10 to those calories that you eat stay right with you. So it really matters the timing of eating as well. So having a good big breakfast makes a big difference, of whole grains in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say some blueberries and some good sources of omega-3 fats like chia seed or walnuts in the morning to get started off well. And that, though, all of that will feed the good microbiome, and that will help to balance hormones and appetite and stress. It creates stress resiliency so that we can handle stress better throughout the day. And typically, you know, food and stress kind of are coupled together.
You know, Evelyn, you talked about the microbiome and how different foods affect it and such. It kind of reminds me of one of my favorite programs, The Gardening Show. It's like you've got a garden down there in your little intestines, and you've got to give it the right stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
That is a very good analogy, yes.
It reminded me of something else as well, and that is when we became Seventh-day Adventists. I was about 6 years old, and the Adventists have an advantage. We have this book called The Ministry of Healing. I just gave it to a young couple yesterday, a young man who is a young family. And my mother took that advice in that book serious, and we changed the order of our meals. We ate a big breakfast, and of course she packed a nice lunch, and we ate a much lighter supper. And I, to this day, I want a big breakfast. I'm just, I mean, I guess mother turned the genes off on her own for the right ones there.
That's right.
But it does give you a better start. And that water thing, you know, a lot of people head for the coffee pot first thing in the morning. Instead, they ought to drink two big glasses, not ice cold water, but more lukewarm-ish. That's my preference anyway. And you don't have to drink them all at once, but if you just maybe drink a half one and then another half one before you eat anything, mm-hmm. you get those two big glasses down. I call them big glasses. That's what I have. I think that's what I'm hearing you say, Evelyn.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, years ago when I first was looking into becoming a vegetarian, one thing, I knew it was healthier, and I was a single mom, very poor, and I had a friend who was a vegetarian. She says, oh, it's much cheaper to be a vegetarian than to eat all that meat. And I was learning about eating more healthy at that time and learned this about having, you know, your breakfast, your main meal. Mm-hmm. I switched. Breakfast was the dinner I used to have. And then I'd have lunch, but then I'd have a light breakfast for supper. I was so much healthier. I felt good. I probably should do that again.
Well, science is backing it up as well.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to run out of time here, so we're going to take our break right now. But stay tuned, folks, because we are not done talking about nutrition and maybe getting some ideas how it might be easier as we go out to eat. How do we pick the right foods? We've talked a lot about these healthy foods, and we keep saying the good foods and the not-so-good foods. So, Evelyn, you'll help us learn more about how to eat healthier, won't you?
Yes.
We'll be right back, folks.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm one of your co-hosts with
Tom Majeure
and Jay Gallimore.
And we have as our guest Evelyn Kissinger, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist, and she is the nutrition director for Lifestyle Matters. Evelyn, you are a wealth of information, and this is beyond what I've already heard information I can remember, but this is just wonderful, talking about nutrition, and which encompasses not just nutrition. You talked about sleep and drinking water, but so people, it's New Year's resolutions, they've started. Today is January 5th on Sunday when this will first be airing. And maybe they've already blew their New Year's resolution.
It's never too late to start, though, Jelaine.
That's right. So. That's right. So let's talk about nutrition made easy, Evelyn.
Yes. The first thing you do is think about what is the most simple thing that I can do to be healthier. And we did talk about, you know, getting enough sleep, and that's a big one, and drinking water. But what would be the easiest thing to do? And for a lot of people, it's probably adding more fruits and vegetables.
Now, Evelyn, before you go on to that, you have something here also about positive attitude, and we didn't talk about that.
Yes.
I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to achieve.
Yes, just knowing that it's possible. And when you're doing it with a friend, that really helps a lot too. But the attitude of, I can do this, I can change. We have made all kinds of changes in our life, and we've run into obstacles. And I think a lot of people think if they slip and do something that's maybe off the chart, they go, oh, I knew I couldn't do that. But just think about other things in your life where you have
decided that even if there's been challenges and struggles, you keep with it, because it does take this growth mindset of saying, I can do this, and every day is a new day, every meal is a new meal, and the attitude of I can do this, and I can find somebody to do it with me, and I know that God can give me strength to make these choices, and success breeds success. So
true.
when you do the one thing and you see there's a benefit, then it's going to encourage you to do more. So just learning to drink water and do that in place of a lot of the sugary drinks and other things that are out there, and say, I'm going to choose to drink water.
Mm-hmm.
And that will change lots of other things in your life. It's going to change the caloric intake. It's going to change the microbiome. It's going to give you more energy. It's going to replace, it's going to get rid of a lot of extra calories. So having the attitude of success, and also having an attitude of gratitude, just mm-hmm. being thankful is another thing that spurs actually mm-hmm. weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
The studies show that people who are more grateful will lose weight. Their cholesterol goes down. Their blood pressure goes down. They exercise more. So there's a lot of power in just being grateful. So attitude is huge when it comes to changing one's lifestyle.
So it's the beginning of January. We've made a New Year's resolution, and we've already failed. I just needed to have that one cookie, but then I ate half the package.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we think we're a failure. That's where you're talking about, we need to change that thinking.
Well, the attitude that she's talking about is going to change that, because it says, well, I may have slipped up, but
that's right.
I am so thankful I can start again.
Well, and that's what
yes.
you said. You know, just because we failed, we stopped, we dropped, whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's never too late to start
again.
In fact,
most successes are not just one thing straight up. It's up and down, and it's up and down. But the progress is always
up.
And Jesus is there to empower those. And you know, I found that I can be, if I would say during the day, Lord, you know, I'm so thankful for my car. I'm grateful for that. You know, Lord, I'm so thankful for this spray paint that helps me to fix this little project that I've got going on. You know, Lord, I'm so thankful. And the list just goes on and on and on. You find yourself being thankful all day long. And I'm telling you, it really changes your attitude.
Well, it changes your biology. It changes the neurotransmitters. It changes serotonin and dopamine.
Mm.
And that's a physiological response
mm-hmm.
as well. So we're talking biology as well when we think healthful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's pervasive throughout the body.
Yeah.
Evelyn, I was just wondering, do we try to eat the whole apple in one bite, or do we take a couple of bites here and there? And let me explain. What if we were to start off with changing our water habits? So before we get into the nutrition side, instead of doing it on January 1st, which is already passed, what if we start the water regimen? And then maybe we get that under our belt, get that under control, and then maybe we'll go after the sleep element, get our water, then our sleep under control, and then we start working on nutrition. Maybe do this 1 week segments or 2 week segments, and then you eat that proverbial elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah, I like that approach. I think that the studies do show that when you focus on one healthful habit, that one healthful habit, and it's on your mind
mm-hmm.
and you're staying with it. It's the drinking the water, or being thankful, or choosing high fiber foods, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We naturally will make other healthful habit choices.
Oh, that is so great. So you could actually start a list. Now, I would put being grateful, start getting in a grateful, and that's easy to do. You can just do it all day long. And then maybe it's, I don't know, Evelyn, is it the water or the sleep that should come next?
Well, I think that's a toss-up, but I think that an individual could probably decide, because when you drink more water, it's going to help you get better sleep because you're going to be properly hydrated
okay.
and you're going to get better sleep.
So,
all of these things kind of work together. But when it comes to nutrition, what we want is more whole foods that give dietary fiber.
Mm.
Dietary fiber is the answer when it comes to healthful eating. Because when we get enough dietary fiber from whole foods, mm. it gives us the big picture. You really don't have to be so concerned about other nutrients or balancing things if you're focusing on whole foods, which provide dietary fiber. That's what's going to fill us up, keep us fuller longer, change our chemistry, changes our hormones, changes our microbiome, and reduces risk of lifestyle diseases.
Okay,
every meal.
Talk to us about the kinds of foods that would be.
Well, that's what I was just wondering, because I was thinking something I've heard, you know, we want to eat potato chips, but eating a potato would be better than, you know, potato chips. Is that what
yes.
you're talking about?
Exactly. When you eat the whole food as it comes in nature, it's very different than when it has been altered, extracted, fried, or
squished.
So a baked potato covered with some good stuff, it's better than French fries, even though the
Absolutely.
Potato still has, I guess, fiber in it.
Yes, it does. So, for instance, for breakfast, choosing a whole grain cereal. And a better choice is even a whole grain cooked cereal that hasn't gone through the processing of becoming a ready-to-eat cereal. So an optimal breakfast would be whole grain cereal and some fruit and a good source of fats like walnuts or nuts or seeds, chia seed. And that will give you tanked up so that you have a better functioning brain. You have glucose that's going to be delivered to the brain. You're going to think better. People do better on test scores when they've had a good breakfast. And in the corporate wellness programs I've done, my corporate executives tell me I get more done. I'm more productive, especially in the morning when I have that powerful breakfast.
So that's basically like this morning we had oatmeal, which is a whole grain. Then we had some healthy granola with the sugar content under control. You know, some granolas have a lot of sugar in them, but this was a well-made one. And then we had some dried fruit in it and then walnuts. I mean, I'm well on my way.
Well, I bet you're just shining. That's awesome.
So you're That's saying great. That box cereal, especially we see think of the kids, all these sugary box cereals, that's not what we want. We want, when you're saying whole grains, oatmeal, what would be some other whole grains for breakfast?
Yeah, the intact, we call them intact grains, and that's the ones that haven't had any altering done to them. And they're not so common, like the, they call them oat groats. Now, I don't know why they call them groats, but those are the ones before they become steel-cut oats, before they become old-fashioned rolled oats or quick oats. So the closer you can get to the way they come in nature, the better they are for you. Brown rice, quinoa, barley, whole barley. Those are all excellent choices of grain.
Now, and these can all be bought at regular grocery stores. You don't
absolutely.
Have to go to a health food
That's
store.
Right. And in some grocery stores, they have a section called Red Mill. And so going to that section where it says Red Mill, you can often find some of these whole grain products that may not be on in the rest of the store.
Now, there are some box cereals, for instance, like shredded wheat, has no sugar or anything. How about that? What's that like?
Yes, that when we're looking at nutrition, we're looking at the good, better, best. And so the very best would be those intact grains. But something good would be oatmeal or like the rolled oats, or something like shredded wheat, or even raisin bran, or some of those. So there are some that are better than others. When you're looking at some of the kids' cereals, you're going to see that there's mostly refined carbohydrates, refined grains, and a lot of sugar is added.
They're really bad news for kids and adults.
They're very bad news. They're really bad for the microbiome. And when you read the label and it has 4 grams of sugar, that is translated into 1 teaspoon. 1 teaspoon of sugar would show up on the label as 4 grams. Now, if it has dried fruit in it, well, the new labels are going to say added sugars so that you can actually see what has been added. So every 4 grams of added sugar is refined sugar that has been added to the product. So keeping low on those ready-to-eat cereals are much better.
Now, you had talked about one of the biggest things we can do is adding fruits and vegetables to our diet.
Yes. The average consumption is about 1.5 cups. And I think that's a little generous. But we want at least 3 cups, but even better would be 4 to 6 cups of fruits and vegetables a day. And that they are so protective. They have so many protective phytochemicals and antioxidants in them. And each one has different sets of microbiome that's inside the fruit, inside the cells of the fruits and vegetables are different colonies of microbiome, of bacteria, that when they get into our bodies, they help protect the body. It boosts the immunity, it protects against disease, especially cancer, and reduces cholesterol levels. It's very, very protective. It's protective to the plant, and then when we eat it, it becomes protective to our bodies.
So,
eating more fruits and vegetables.
So it not only feeds the good stuff, it actually adds more of
it adds the bacteria, and there can be a change in the microbiome in 24 hours by eating healthy foods.
You know, my mom used to say, "Is variety is the spice of life when it comes to fruits and vegetables." So you're saying you've got to have across the spectrum, you've got to have those reds, those greens, and the yellows to be healthy, and the blue.
Yes. Yeah. Each color contributes different phytochemicals.
So
there's over 20,000 different phytochemicals.
So fill up your plate palette with different colors.
Yes. Yeah. 2/3 of your plate being fruits and veggies. It's a good plan.
Talk about beans to us.
Oh, yes. That was my next one. The very, very best choice for dietary fiber, the highest dietary fiber foods are beans. And most cultures have survived because they've eaten a bean and a grain. But our culture has kind of moved away from eating beans. And when people move to this country from other countries, they move away from some of their cultural foods. But we need to get back to the roots. We need to get back to eating more beans.
Now, when you say beans, what kind of beans are you talking about?
Okay, all kinds. Pinto, black beans, garbanzo beans, red kidney beans, black-eyed peas, even lentils and split peas.
Green beans out of the garden?
Well, green beans, if they have what we call in the South, if they have the shellies in them, you know, where they have the mature bean, it gives you more of the fiber. But green beans are good for you.
Lima beans, yes.
Go for as many as you can get.
Yes. And especially for diabetes control, I've been in a research project where we were able to reverse diabetes in 2 weeks. And what we did, we gave them beans for breakfast, beans for lunch, and beans for supper. and it has a dramatic effect on balancing blood sugar levels.
Now, just to verify, that's not all. I mean, they had beans with...
Including all the other great foods.
Yes, okay.
Yes, okay. Yes. That was just one of the items that was offered at the meal, but it has a very powerful effect on satisfying the appetite, controlling blood sugar levels. It's a very healthy plant protein. It's full of these phytochemicals, high in B vitamins and calcium and magnesium that helps us with stress. It's just rich in all of those major nutrients.
Hey, before we lose time, can you talk about the nuts and seeds and flax
seeds? Yes, yes, the best place to get fats. What percent of your brain do you think is fat?
I have no idea.
25%?
It's 50%.
Wow. Really?
50 to 60% really? Is fat. And so we want to get good sources of fat, good plant fats, and that is from the seeds and the nuts. Some olive oil is fine, but olives are better, you know, before you start messing with it.
Okay,
it's always better to eat the whole food.
Okay.
But yes, some is fine. But you get some good omega-3 fats that's good for the brain health from walnuts and chia and ground flaxseed, hemp seed. These are excellent sources. And you have to go looking for omega-3s. You have to find them make an effort to include these into your eating program every day.
Now, we're going to run out of time. So we got to just touch. We only have a couple minutes. We got to touch about eating out because so many of us living a fast lifestyle, you know, this is good stuff we're talking about, but I can just imagine people are thinking, yeah, but I don't have the time to cook that, or I don't have the time to take, and, you know, just like oatmeal. Well, you got to boil the water. You know, that's why a package. So a lot of people eat out almost maybe all meals, or at least one or two meals a day.
Well, there are a lot of places that are offering oatmeal in the morning, even places like Starbucks. You know, so if you're going through and going to some of these places, you can actually get an oatmeal for breakfast in a lot of places if you're eating out. But trying to leave home with a nice, full, satisfied appetite will help you when you go to work and you see donuts and you see vending machines and you see other things. It's another experience rather than I'm hungry. When we're really hungry, it's really difficult to make good choices. But if I have a good breakfast in the morning and I've drank water, then I have a different experience in making that decision. But when eating out, we made a comment before of thinking about where you're going before you go and what you're going to order before you get there. And you're probably going to make a better choice. And when you're looking at a menu, you can look around the menu and look for some of the side things they have. Are they offering some vegetables? Are they offering some type of bean? If you go to an ethnic place, you're more likely to find ways to get more beans and vegetables, like Mexican or Thai or Indian. Sometimes you can find better choices there. And saving your calories and choosing water with lemon rather than drinking things that have a lot of calories in them. If you're having a dessert, you can cut the dessert in half just in a second, just with a knife. And you cut your dessert in half and you share it with somebody else.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are going to run out of time. We did not talk about regular meal times. What's the latest we should be eating our last meal?
Well, we're learning a lot about what is called intermittent fasting, and that means trying not to eat anything after 4 or 5 o'clock until breakfast, and that can really recalibrate your metabolism. It's really amazing. But on a regular basis, trying not to eat past 5 or 6 is really a smart thing to do. Earlier is better. The lighter the supper, the better. But a lot of families do have dinner together, and that is a bonding time. Mm-hmm. It actually produces a bonding hormone in our bodies, oxytocin. So having like a soup and salad and some whole grain bread is a really nice way to do a supper.
Okay. Now, earlier in our program, Jay Gallimore had mentioned the book Ministry of Healing.
Yes.
And folks, if you would like that book, we have it available here for free. All you got to do is give us a call at 231-468-2087 and ask for the book, The Ministry of Healing. And we will send you that book for free. And it has lots of practical information and lots of Bible verses to go along with it.
It is a fantastic book. It'll add great value to your life.
And I'm sure, Evelyn, you agree, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Evelyn. We've had Evelyn Kissinger with us, who's a registered dietitian and nutritionist, and she is the nutrition director for Lifestyle Matters. And you can go to their website, lifestylematters.com, and that you said there's lots of free information there for people to get.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Evelyn, for enlightening us. I think, Tom, we're going to have Evelyn again.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk another hour about nutrition.
For sure.
Okay. Thank you, folks, for listening. And give us a call if you would like that free book, Ministry of Healing. Call 231-468-2087. Thank you, Tom and Jay and Evelyn. This was a great discussion. Bye.
Bye.